We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and it's my privilege to host the program. Each time we get together, most of the time we are interviewing folks in our congregation that have some awesome stories about God and what they've learned about the Lord through some of the difficult times of their lives. The next couple of times are going to be a bit different in that we're going to be doing some Bible study. And I've entitled the Bible study, The Most Dangerous Church Member. Yes, that's what I said, the most dangerous. Now, I don't want you to immediately think about somebody's name in your church like the story that I'm about to read. Pastor Terry Hagedorn, pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Reidsville, West Virginia, wrote a little make-believe story. I think it's make-believe. The story goes, the pastor solemnly announced, "Sadly, folks, the time has come for me to take action on a problem that's about to split our church. I hate to do it, but it must be done. In the Sunday evening service, I'm going to name the member that is about to destroy this church." A collective gasp rose from the audience. Instantly, murmurings and whispered discussions sprang from every corner of the auditorium. One woman almost fainted, while some faces turned deathly pale. Other faces became two or three times redder than usual. Who could it be? Raced through many people's minds. More than one member suspiciously glanced at the other. Some craned their necks and rolled their eyes while still trying to appear to face forward. Eyes searched the crowd, trying to pick out the ornery rascal or rascalette. One woman leaned over and pompously whispered to her friend, "I know who it is. Call me later and I'll tell you." Evidently, she was not the only one who knew. Indeed, many phone lines burned that afternoon. Accusations and denials went flying. "I'll bet it's..." "Oh, you know what she told..." "Don't you?" "Don't you know so-and-so has been mad at Pastor ever since Pastor..." And you fill in the blank. "Well, if it isn't so-and-so, then I don't know who it could be." In the course of that long, hot, sordid summer afternoon, almost every member was not only mentioned as a potential Judas, but also unceremoniously tried and condemned in absentia. Some members actually look forward to having the traitor publicly humiliated in the evening service, gloating, "It's about time he got what was coming." A small number of the self-repentant met with the pastor immediately after the morning service. They apologized with many tears, promising never to cause trouble again, and confessing many hidden sins, if he just would not name them from the pulpit. The pastor sadly responded, "I'm sorry. I forgive you for any wrong you've done me, and I know that God will forgive you as well. However, I said I was going to do it. Now I have to do it." Some of the people's contrition reminded the pastor of an American humorous story about the cannibals who received a nasty letter from a mission board because they had eaten two of its missionaries. The cannibals wrote back, "It was all a dreadful mistake. We are truly sorry that you have withdrawn your mission from our fair land. If you send us bigger missionaries, we promise never to do it again. You can take our word for it. Honest." Well, that afternoon, the deacons called a secret meeting to discuss the emergency formation of a pulpit committee. "We aren't supposed to meet like this, but we've got to think about the good of the church," the chairman of the deacons announced. "I was a deacon here when that whippersnapper was in diapers, and I'll be here when he's sent a packing. Mind you, I'm just thinking about the good of the church. Now, don't get me wrong. Pastor's a good man and all. He was doing a good job, and now he stopped preaching and started meddling. Church is more important than any old pastor. Listen, if he names a name, I'll immediately call for his resignation. Are you for me or against me?" Well, the deacons voted unanimously to support him, just as their wives had told them to do. Other members spent the day contemplating what other church they might attend after their church blows up. But they had no intention of looking for another church home that night. Well, they wouldn't miss the show for anything. Some of those church shoppers call pastors and members at surrounding churches explaining, "I don't want to gossip, but you should probably expect an increase in your membership." You know, isn't it amazing how the biggest gossips usually start by claiming, "I'm not gossiping," or, "I don't mean to or want to gossip, but..." If their names were mentioned, some members planned to stand and publicly denounce their pastor. Others announced they would stand with him. The media was even called and was told the trouble was brewing. Maybe even a fight would erupt at the church that night. The press promised full coverage with cameras inside and out. No one planned to miss the evening service. In fact, a record-breaking crowd attended. That many people hadn't turned out for revival meetings. Even the pastor was amazed at the large crowd. As the head usher updated the brag board's record attendance space, he fretted that he might not have enough nines. He complained to his friend, "I told Pastor we needed more numbers 3 months ago. He isn't so busy that he couldn't have gotten them for me. Now what am I going to do? Our last pastor, may he rest in peace, always took care of those things. I don't know about this one." Finally, the moment of truth arrived. The pastor solemnly approached the pulpit. He carefully surveyed his audience. The whole scene appeared almost apocalyptic. With a grave voice, the pastor began, "I am now going to name the member that is going to split this church." He paused. "Please turn your Bibles to James 3, verses 5 and 6, and began to read. "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature." You know, many churches probably could have that kind of meeting, and probably the same thing could be said. Because many churches are concerned about getting the gospel out, and often they have long discussions, maybe yours does, about making sure we keep our music right and making sure that we're preaching the strong foundation of the Word of God. And all those things are necessary. But what is it that's going to kill your church? I doubt if it's going to be any kind of persecution from the outside. I doubt if governmental restrictions are going to shut us down. But in my 46 years of pastoring, I have discovered that one of the greatest weaknesses in our churches, and yes, I'm talking about fundamental churches that preach and teach the Word of God, one of the greatest weaknesses is a critical and gossiping spirit, many times resulting in slandering tongues and destroying influences. You know what? That will kill any church. Many times, when somebody's unhappy, an anonymous letter is sent to one person or to numbers of people, or it's a private conversation on the phone or out in the parking lot. Many times it's those that didn't get their way in a certain area. You know, and the sad thing is the fact that those who are on the sidelines of our churches, you know, observing these sinful attitudes and actions, many times get so frustrated with church practiced in this way that all they want to do is just leave, and many times they do, and never again go to another church. And in my 46 years of ministry, I've discovered that everybody that is involved in this kind of an activity is claiming to be doing what they think is going to save the church. Save the church. I'd like to call your attention to Titus chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is writing Titus, and he is describing the men and women in the church. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children." That's an interesting expression, not false accusers. The Greek translation of that word is diabolos. 34 times it's used in the New Testament to refer to Satan. Wow. Yes, Paul is talking to believers, but he's saying that our activities with our tongue can be the same thing as Satan is trying to accomplish. One time that word diabolos was used in regards to Judas, Jesus' disciple who betrayed him in John 6 and verse 70. One time it was used to describe the behavior of hardened unbelievers in the end times. Isn't that amazing? The same word used to describe hardened unbelievers is used to describe believers in the church. Two other times, in reference to women, it can literally be translated she-devil. That's in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, the verse that we just read, and 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11. Now, the English synonym is a slanderer or a gossip, one who excites contention and quarrels. Now, the exact opposite of that is a lady that has godly speech. And Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14 tells us, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because whatever my meditation is what my words will become. You know, Scripture teaches us that women who are older in age and in their relationship with the Lord, and those women who are in some leadership capacity in the local church, 1 Timothy 3:11, are to use their tongues for ministering to others instead of gossiping. In fact, Dr. Gene Getz wrote in his book, The Measure of a Woman, I quote, "How we use our tongues serves as a precise measurement of our Christian maturity. How we use our tongues reflects on everything we do and affects everything we do and every person we come in contact with." Now, the honest, simple truth is that when it comes to gossip, the source of gossip is Satan. He is always looking for someone that he wants to tear down. And so, consequently, he will also look for someone that he can use to pass some ungodly judgment or criticism or piece of gossip. Satan, wow, the source of that kind of communication. Now, the Bible tells us that if we begin to slip away and not recognize temptation in our hearts, we can be involved in gossip and not really know it. The Bible tells us in Luke 6:45 that an evil heart is the bottom line for gossip. Psalm 109 and verse 3, hatred. An evil heart and hatred. You see, Satan loves to engender these kinds of thoughts and feelings in our hearts, and then he justifies the words that will come out of our mouths to attack other people. Well, we've run out of time for today, but the next time we meet, we'll continue to talk about the most dangerous church member. You know what? I bet that's true in your church as well as ours. I trust it won't be true because of you. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.